Welcome to the Soul Traveler Podcast, an exploration of conscious living with your host, Jennifer Mitchell of The Soul Experience. Join Jennifer as she explores the quantum realms of the subconscious mind and all aspects of spirituality. Driven by curiosity and a thirst for knowledge, topics will stretch the boundaries of your imagination and revive your mind, body, and soul.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Soul Traveler Podcast. I am your host, Jennifer Mitchell. Today, I am joined by Nancy Reed, who is an intuitive body coach, award-winning author, Pilates instructor, and an intuition amplifier. Welcome to the show, Nancy.
Thank you so much, Jennifer. It's lovely to be here.
Yes, I'm so excited to get ready to know you today in real time. So I'd love if you can start off by telling us about your story.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've always been somebody, even as a little girl, that could feel spaces and people before I'd even gotten to know them. And not exactly the normal thing for a little girl to go through. And so that was definitely a challenge. And I didn't really have a lot of people to confide in and talk to, anything about that. So I got really good at becoming different versions of myself, depending on who I was with. Yeah. And there were very few people that I felt really safe being who I really am. And who I was just born as, right? And so that was kind of the beginning of everything, was that recognizing that I had these abilities to be able to be very empathic, very intuitive, although those weren't even words that I was familiar with at the time. But I didn't really know what the purpose of that was. Like, so what was this for? How was it going to be helping me? In some ways, it felt like a curse more than a blessing. And it really led me to get to spend a lot of time doing a lot of inner work and getting, like I said, very good at basically hiding in plain sight.
Yeah.
So I would be visible like in the school play or something like that, but I would be terrified of having too many one-on-one relationships with people because somehow I had this fear that if they really knew me, they would think that either, I don't know, that I was like a fraud or that I was full of it or that somehow I was just weird and everyone wants to fit in at that stage in life. And so that kind of laid the foundation for things. And then I went through a couple of really near-death experiences, basically, that led me to come into a different understanding of this awareness and begin to see actually that maybe it was part of my path on a bigger scope rather than it was something that was going to be a hindrance for me or that it was going to keep me from actually showing up and being like everybody else.
I hear that actually so much, Nancy, that as a young child that people have these gifts and they don't know what to do with them or feel like they don't have anyone to turn to. And that's one of the reasons why I love the work that we're doing right now is because I think that we can start to spread awareness so that other generations don't go through the same stuff that we did, right? They don't have to wear these masks and hide behind or feel like they can't connect with people. And so thank you for, you know, being vulnerable and raw and sharing your story. It's really going to help so many other people who are going through similar situations.
Oh, well, thank you. And that's exactly it, is that I am hoping by being so open about my own experiences that I let anyone know that is listening that it's safe. Mm-hmm. It's safe to be seen. It's safe to be heard. And that their story matters and that their specific form of light is needed in this world. And that even if it seems like they're one of none, that they're actually one of many. And that we are here to be supportive with each other and to say what's possible for one of us is possible for all of us.
Yeah. And that's so true. I mean, we all have like this inner light, this inner guidance, intuition. Dive right into intuition. But society likes to teach us to ignore our intuition, which is just, it's so crazy now when I think about that, because that's our internal guidance system. And when you really, you know, for anyone listening out there, when you look back at your life, has your intuition ever been wrong? I would be shocked if anyone said yes, but then like we still doubt it. Why do you think that is?
Well, sort of what you were saying about that we've been conditioned that A, if something comes without effort, we can't trust it.
Mm-hmm.
And that we need to suffer in order to have this ability or knowledge, and that we need to have a hierarchy in life, that there needs to be grades and classes and matriculation and learning and all these things. And intuition, like you said, is something that is you. It's within you. And it's not something that you need to be given by someone or something from this world, because it's not from here, right? It's like your divine inheritance. It's a golden thread, basically, of that cosmic tapestry that connects all of us. And so the world being logical and the world being about something that needs to be empirical and being proven, it doesn't get intuition at all.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make space for it, but that doesn't mean that it's not a real, that it doesn't exist. And like you were saying, I'm sure any of the listeners right now, you know, it's like show of hands, who has had that experience that seems so effortless and aligned. And yet, because of all the conditioning of this world and of our existence, basically, we doubt it. And we immediately ask somebody else for their opinion.
Mm-hmm.
We look everywhere to basically make a wrong answer right, rather than trusting.
Yeah. You were so in tune, because I was actually going to ask, and you answered my next question. I was actually going to ask, is like, based off of your work, where do you feel that intuition comes from? And it is, to your point, you are 100% right. It's that divine connection. In my work, I do quantum healing hypnosis. And so we, through hypnosis, we connect in the quantum, which is a very real place. It's beyond space and time. And over again, the subconscious minds of my client in that hypnosis state, they will say, I am the intuition. And it's connection to source. And so that's what I have found through my work. And it sounds like I'm hearing you say that you have a similar perspective.
Absolutely. And it is something beyond words. It's beyond all sort of tangibility. It's something that's more like an essence, something that is a flow rather than a force, right? And each of us has that innate signature within us. And it just becomes our choice. When are we ready to look at it? And when are we ready to remember it and to access it? Because it really isn't something that you need to do better. It's not something that you need to gather all these information sources to give you more information about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's really about silencing all of the external noise.
Yes.
So that you can hear your own truth.
That's so true. Now, one of the things that you do is intuition amplification. So explain to us what that means and how do you do it?
So that's just it, is that you make space for the how in life, right? And that can be maddening, especially for somebody on their journey of self-discovery and personal growth and spiritual growth, to be told, well, actually, there is no specific how here. This is about making space for the how. But you can lay preconditions for it, and you can invite it, right? And so that's what I would say for anybody that's like, oh my gosh, like, where do I even start from that? And I want something concrete and I want something specific. So if you can't have the how be specific, then have how you're approaching inviting the how maybe be a little bit more specific, if that feels more grounded. Because this isn't about making yourself go to war with any part of yourself that is denying your intuition. This is about not judging your past decisions so that you can be in the present, which is where your intuition lives. It's not something that is accessed by rehashing something from the past or by projecting and anticipating something in the future. It's being responsive to what is as all there is.
That's so true. You know, one thing that I actually recently heard from a guest that was on the show, and I just started doing it like last week. It's this fun little game that they recommended to enhance intuition. You go, say you're at like a coffee shop or a restaurant, and you sit and you like turn your back to the door. And then you hear someone walk in or something. You try to imagine like what that person is wearing, what they look like, what colors their hair. And the more that you do it, the more you, it's kind of like flexing a muscle. So I need to do it a little bit more. I did it only once, but I'm going to keep trying that because I think that was, it sounded like a really fun exercise to also try to enhance intuition. And but absolutely also to your point, it's about making space and clearing, you know, there's so much going on and we're often disconnected from who we are internally. So
absolutely. And that's why I tell clients that it's all about starting small. Because if you can do something with something that maybe isn't a huge investment to you, like walking down the street and deciding which way you're going to turn for the, you know, daily journey that you're taking, then you can take that same experience of the how of that and apply it then into bigger things. So the next time that you're out for a walk in your neighborhood and you think you know where you're going, just be quiet for a little bit. And really listen and see if there's some sort of gentle tap or nudge, because the intuition is always gentle. It's always subtle. There's not an urgency to it. There's not a demanding quality to it because, again, it lives in the present. And that's the only time that there is. And so there is no urgency to experience now. It's always now. And so if you can allow yourself to just tune into that energy and be like, what way am I going today? And then just listen. And then if you feel that you should turn left or turn right or do an about face or something, just try it on and see how it feels and see where you end up going as you just keep on extending those small little tiny decisions that seem so insignificant. And yet their impact can be really profound because you can say, well, I experienced that in something that was really light and simple. So it's safe for me to try now with something a little bit more intense or with a little bit more big, right? And you, like you said, you're developing that muscle. You're developing those practices that can really keep you grounded and anchored, even when life's curveballs inevitably show up.
I 100% agree. I'd love if you could talk to us about being a sacred embodiment coach. What exactly does that mean for listeners? And if someone was to come to you for a session, walk us through a session experience. What is that like?
Well, so I have all these different hats that I wear because it's like so many of us that are in this type of profession, I feel like that we have all these different experiences. And so it's like, how can I marry them into one offering of me, right? And so sacred embodiment to me is really about gently aligning your mind, body, and spirit with love rather than limitations. And so if somebody was coming to me and they wanted to focus more on their body, because I'm also a longtime Pilates instructor and a movement medicine coach as well within that. And so I understand the body really well on the level of the body and the level of form. And yet I also have these intuitive side to me as well, and the spirituality. And I'm a certified spiritual life coach and a certified life coach. And so I have all of these different hats that I can put together. So if somebody comes in and they say, well, I'm experiencing this sort of issue in my body. So maybe it's that they have a shoulder that is causing them a lot of problems. What's going to make things a little different from us is I can help them to look at the alignment of their shoulder on a physical level. And then I can also, through intuition, ask them questions that are going to look at things on a little deeper level. Like, is there an emotional component to this? Is there a spiritual component to this? And are they willing to go there with their curiosity rather than their judgment? And so ultimately, it's about empowering them to find that internal alignment within them that's always been there. But again, they may have put some sort of barriers or blocks or just temporary amnesia, basically, in not remembering who they really are. And so through that together, we can work on like the level of the body and then actually flow into the level of the mind and the spirit as well. And then also if somebody came to me and they were saying, I have this repetitive pattern that is showing up in my business and how I interact as like an entrepreneur or something like that. And I keep on having the same thing where the only constant is me, even though I have all these different faces and these different actors and everything. Well, so then for them, we would look at things more on the level of the mind and also of the spirit. So we would look at maybe doing some guided meditations. We would look at doing some intention settings. We would look at creating kind of a custom affirmation for them or mantra, different things like that. For people that are really creative and artistic, I have them do a lot of things with collages, because I find that visual representations of what's going on inside can be so powerful. And especially with us living in a mobile society like we do with our phones attached to our hips, that if we can save things to our phone, we probably have a pretty good chance of it being something that is going to be easy to access and easy to be implemented into our daily lives.
One thing I'd love to go back and touch on that you were saying is about emotion being trapped in the body and manifesting as physical pain. So when you do come across that, how do you release the trapped emotion in your work? Do you do that through the series of movements or through Pilates? Or is it, you know, do you incorporate all of your tools? Like, what techniques do you use?
So kind of all and every. Yeah. So I'm also a Reiki master teacher. Mm-hmm. So I bring in energetics into it. I bring in, if somebody wants to look more at a spiritual lens and they know me from my time on Clubhouse, I do a lot of work there too within A Course in Miracles, then we'll bring that into the conversations as well. So it's really about meeting somebody where they are. And if they've got something trapped, a lot of times, then they might not be quite ready to look at that. And so I help them to look without judgment. I help them to realize that we can peel back a layer just gently at a time, and that we don't have to expose it all at once, that it could be done in baby steps. Because again, now is always now, whenever you're ready for it. And so they're never behind and they're never too early. They're always right on time in the now. And so maybe it'll be like a specific breath practice that I'll use with them in addition to an aligned movement with the Pilates. So take an exercise that people are used to doing on the mat or on the reformer or something like that, and then have them use maybe an affirmation to set the intention of the movement, use a breath sequence to anchor that, and then even have like a guided meditation or something as part of it too. So kind of put all of it together. Or just, you know, to individualize, take out different pieces. So that's what's really nice about WOW. I work with people is that it's so tailored to the individual. And I do group programs too, but my bread and butter and where I love and I really shine is getting to work with people individually and help them to see what's possible for them so that they can awaken that inner voice within them, that intuition within them, and bring that into the experiences so that they're a part of the self-healing and not apart from it.
Yeah. So when someone comes to you, and do you recommend that they do a series of sessions, or can they just do one session? What does that look like? Or is it different for everybody?
Well, it's definitely different for everybody. So the way I work is that if people want to work with me in Pilates, then that's something very specific. If they want to do it in person, then I have a couple studios here that I work at locally with me. I used to have my own for many, many, many years, but then I became a mom. That's another story. And so now I prefer instead to get to go with people, other people's studios, and I do workshops and classes and that kind of thing. I also do online sessions with people who want to focus on the embodiment of the Pilates and also to bring in the meditation and the spirituality into it as well. I also have a master's degree in psychology with a focus in emotional intelligence and conflict resolution. So I can bring in that hat for more of the corporate people as well. So ideally, I start off usually with an intensive session that I call a gently intensive. And we do it for 90 minutes together. And then within those 90 minutes, we focus on just one thing that they want to transform, that they want to look at and invite a different experience in. Then beyond that, they can either choose to continue doing intensives, which some do, or they can buy blocks of different session hours basically with me. So like 3, 6, 9, 12, and then they have a certain amount of time to use those. And then we can basically make those be adjusted to fit wherever they are in their life. So if they want to focus more on their body, then we're going to do more of the embodiment and the Pilates and the breathing and everything like that. If they want to have it all together, then we can make the sessions be like that. And they can always re-up and get to extend those packages any way they want as well. And then I also offer group programs just a couple times a year, usually to a select group of heart-centered, empathic, sensitive women that are wanting to look at their perfectionistic tendencies, but with kindness and curiosity rather than judgment.
I love that. I know. So what I'm hearing is that everything is just truly so customizable, and the experience, mm-hmm. even from the time of the sessions to implementing your psychology degree and emotional intelligence and Pilates, that's amazing. It's just one-stop shop. I love that. Hey, soul travelers, pardon the interruption, but I just have to tell you about quantum healing hypnosis, because one session forever changed my life, and now I'm living my purpose to help others just like you. I was so lost in my life and absolutely miserable in my career until I received the guidance needed from my higher self. Now I'm spreading awareness about the life-changing modality of quantum healing hypnosis. In one single session, we will spend the day journeying deep into your subconscious mind and unlock the hidden wisdom within. We'll revisit a past life, explore what your soul does between lifetimes. Your subconscious mind will scan your body, looking for health concerns, and perform self-healing. You'll even connect directly to the Akashic records so that you could get your most important life questions answered. Quantum healing hypnosis is absolutely nothing like a traditional hypnosis session. And you know that everything is 100% legitimate because nothing is being filtered through a third-party practitioner, and your higher self will never misguide you. Your session is audio recorded so that you could listen back and play all of the advice that your higher self spoke to you under hypnosis. So if you're ready for personal growth and a positive change, then it's time to discover the essence of who you truly are. Book a session with me today at thesoulexperiences.com. Now back to the show. Perfectionism, that was next thing I wanted to talk with you about. Like, where did that come from? Like, why are we like that? When you work with your clients, usually, do you find that there is usually like a similar root cause across most women, like where that stems mm-hmm. from?
Absolutely. That so many of them believe that if they can just be perfect, mm-hmm. whatever that is, even though it doesn't exist, but if they can keep striving towards that, if they can keep waiting for the perfect situation, the perfect job, the perfect this, the perfect that, that then they will be enough. Mm-hmm. Then they will have that sense of validation. They will have that sense of acceptance, that sense of love, really. And it can be something that is just beyond time and space too.
Yeah.
So something that they're carrying with them that they're not even aware of. And so what I find a lot of times too, and this is in my own experience as well, and this is why I wrote a book about it, was that by being a perfectionist, that what we do sometimes is that we give away the power of our decision-making mm-hmm. to things that are outside of us. And the reason for that is that there's this mistaken thought that our inner perfectionist tells us that if we can give away our power and our choices to someone or something outside of us, it means we're off the hook for the outcome.
Hmm. Wow. I never thought of it that way. That's interesting. It's like an aha moment.
Exactly. And that's just it. A lot of the women I work with, they're just like, oh, so then yeah. immediately what I want to do, of course, with them is say, now, look, now that we've seen this, don't judge it. Don't feel guilty about this. This is good news because now we know what's going on. Now we can see that this has been the purpose so far. So how can we substitute another more affirming purpose, not a limiting purpose? How can we look at our perfectionism now and say, okay, so perfectionism hasn't gotten me what I thought it was going to because it doesn't exist. And so I want to choose now to be the perfectly imperfect time instead, to begin living my best life as my perfectly imperfect self. And when you say that, it is such a release and such a huge just lift on every level. Because now, when your aim is to be perfectly imperfect, you can never fail.
Yeah.
And it's not that you deny anything. It's not that you don't try anymore, but it's that you accept yourself, that you know that you're enough, that you know that you are needed as you are. And so certainly we can all have things we want to change about ourselves and we want to grow about ourselves. But what is the purpose of it? If it's just to keep us always feeling like we're measuring short, then maybe there's another intention that we can put behind it. maybe we can look at that and say, oh, if I align instead with a mindset of love rather than judgment or limitations here, if I bring that gentleness into this, then anything that I'm doing is also going to be infused with that initial intention. And like A Course in Miracles says, ideas leave not their source. And so if the original idea comes from love, then everything that is manifested and is going to be executed also is going to reflect that common golden thread of love as well.
Yeah. And so much of that message really resonates with me. One thing that sticks out the most, however, is when you were saying that we're always striving for perfection and we're looking to, well, if I can just accomplish this, or if I can just do this. And it's kind of like that carrot that's dangling, like goal after goal after goal after goal. And I feel like that is societal programming. I'll admit, I have a tendency to be a little bit like that too. If I can just get here, then, you know, XYZ is going to fall into place. Or in my career, if I can just reach this level, then I'm going to have more people under me and I'll be able to accomplish more. And it's like always striving like for something else instead of just being happy and content with where we are. How much of that do you think is like also, you know, programming from society and like how we're raised? Also being overworked, and I feel like burnout is praised to say like so many women are on burnout mode. It's all of that aligns with trying to achieve perfection.
Absolutely. And that's just it, is that there is this checklist that so many of us subscribe to, and yet we didn't make it.
Yeah.
Right. We had no part in creating it. And so we're checking off this list of things that really don't mean anything to us. And yet we believe that when we get to the end, and somehow it never comes, right? That's the guarantee. No. There's always something else to add to that list, that we believe that when we get to the end, then we'll be enough. Then we can shine. Then it's safe to share our light. Then other people will recognize all of the amazingness that is us, and that we will have earned it. We will have suffered for it. We will have gone through all the hoops. We will have paid our dues. There's so much in our language in this country, especially, and just in the world in general, that is about that we don't deserve success without there being hardship and struggle first.
Yeah.
And that if there's anything that comes easy to us, it must not have value. And therein lies the paradox, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's the same thing with intuition then, right? And that's why it doesn't get valued, is because it's there. It's right there. When you're willing to make the space to hear it and to let it reach you, it's there. You don't have to look. You don't have to do anything other than let go and remove the barriers to it. And so that seems too easy. And it's like there's a difference between simplicity and easy. So even though your intuition is effortless, according to the world, it's not easy to find it and to connect with it, because there's all this other noise that wants to drown it out. And so how do you then go through that, right? How do you, instead of just checking off that mindless checklist that you had nothing to do with, how do you instead pause intentionally and check in?
Yeah. Just close your eyes, and grounding is so important too, of course. We were talking on a show earlier about the power of grounding and just taking a moment to check in through grounding. I also feel like it's a lot easier in that space to connect with your intuition as well. Yeah.
Absolutely. And that's the thing that I like to tell clients too, is that the real goal here in somebody working with me is that I want to empower her to know that experience that she gets of feeling connected and at one with her intuition when she's in meditation, when she's doing some kind of guided imagery, is something that she can experience all the time.
Yeah.
And that you can bring it into all of your relationships, all of your experiences, all of your decisions. And that is actually what makes the essence of being rather than doing intuition.
What is the most important lesson that you've learned along your journey that you would like to share with listeners?
That you never know what anything is for until you look back on it.
That's so true. Yeah. Oftentimes we get so caught up in the moment when something is happening or there's a difficult or challenging situation. Your first reaction is maybe, you know, to react or be angry or frustrated rather than taking a step back and really assessing, like, why is this happening to me?
Yeah. And it's like when you can look at the purpose of it, but again, without trying to find the judgment and without trying to assign the blame or the shame, then you can actually rise above it and you can really see it, all of it. And until you see it all, you can't heal it all.
Yeah, so true. Appreciate you coming on the show and sharing all of your wisdom with us today. It was so lovely connecting with you, Nancy.
Thank you.
Where can listeners go to find more about you?
Well, the easiest thing they can do is go to my main website, which is Nancy Reed. So that's NancyReed.com. And that will give them all the information about past podcasts that I've been on, like yours. And they can also download my free gift that I'm offering, which is called the Align with Love Self-Healing Gift Set, which is a PDF of 7 days of self-healing journaling prompts, as well as a 15-minute guided meditation on inviting gentleness. And they can also find my book at haveahappilyevernowbook.com. And they can also look for it on Amazon as well. So either that, and they can find me on the socials through my main website and get to say hello and connect, and on Facebook under Happily Ever Living as well.
Beautiful. And I will make sure to note all of your links and website in the notes. So listeners, if you didn't have a chance to write that down, don't worry. It's all in the comments. Is there any final thoughts that you'd like to leave us with today, Nancy?
That now is always the perfectly imperfect time to begin living your happily ever now, not after everything else is perfect.
That's so beautiful. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. It was a pleasure getting to know you.
Thank you, Jennifer.
This podcast is brought to you by The Soul Experience, Quantum Healing Hypnosis. Are you ready to embark on an inward journey of quantum healing? Quantum healing hypnosis is the most profound method of inner work and self-healing someone can do while on a spiritual path. In a single session, you experience past life regression, exploration between lifetimes, self-healing performed by your subconscious, release of trapped trauma, and answers to your most important life questions. Your higher self has a message for you and is here to help you and guide you on this life journey. Book a session today with Jennifer Mitchell at thesoulexperiences.com.